I like to think of myself as a generous person. I'm willing to share just about everything I have, except I came down with a bad virus the last couple days. I've been sick, and I don't want to share that with you. So at the close of the service, I'll probably be exiting out the doors and to my car. But I did bring my handy jar of hand sanitizer with me today, which I'll put on before I open the Bible. But I have to say, it was really, really hard not to hold the hands of those little girls when they were introducing their brother to the congregation, or to be able to get closer to that baby. But I didn't want to share that with you. So our scripture lesson this morning is from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. We're reading about a time when the people are threatened and in danger of losing everything. They're in a time of darkness and despair. In the midst of Isaiah's prophecies and warnings, we then hear these words, which come to us from chapter 12, which offer us a word of hope. You join with me in prayer. Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all, and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your word we may become your glad and faithful people. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the word of God. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away and you comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the church, we pride ourselves on not jumping into the Christmas season before its time. That means we don't decorate the sanctuary before the first Sunday of Advent, and that during Advent, we sing Advent hymns, much to the chagrin of many, including me, who love the traditional Christmas carols. But in the church, we are out of sync with the rest of the world, where store shelves have been dripping with Christmas paraphernalia since just after Labor Day. Just a few days ago, I saw a house in Wildwood that not only had its Christmas lights up, but also their huge plastic nativity scene and inflatable Santa Claus, all in position and lighting the way. I just about drove off the road. Well, here in the church, we pride ourselves on not jumping into the Christmas season before its time. But I am going to break that tradition. I am jumping on the secular bandwagon today, 2 weeks before Advent begins. Let's talk Christmas. I've always loved Christmas. I was the child who woke at 4 a.m. every Christmas morning and roused my family to reluctant wakefulness because I could not wait until daylight to find out what Santa had left under the tree. I am the one who every year nags and whines my poor husband to please go out and get a Christmas tree so we can decorate it in early December and I can savor every moment. It never happens. I am the one, choir, plug your ears, who plays Christmas carols as soon as December 1st hits the calendar, who never tires of silent night and joy to the world and hark the herald angels sing. I have always loved Christmas. But not this year. This year I am dreading Christmas and the sadness it will bring. This year I am dragging my heels at the thought of my favorite holiday. This is the first Christmas since the death of my father, who spent the last 10 Christmases with us here in Wildwood. And you know, Christmas just isn't going to be the same. This isn't just about me by any means. Every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, every holiday that is a time of anticipation and joy for many are also times that intensify the sorrow and loneliness of a significant number of people who are in a place of grief or loss. We try to be sensitive about that in church, and at the same time, we want to celebrate the joy and the promise that are also magnified during these special seasons. There are plenty of people in this congregation and beyond who are caught in the in-between, lodged somewhere between joy and hope, trying to find our footing in a terrain that is unsteady, unstable, uncomfortable, and downright painful. We know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, but we're at a bend in the road where the light is not yet even in our line of vision, let alone within our reach. The in-betweens pepper our lives and come in many situations. We sit on pins and needles waiting for the letter that will tell us whether or not we've been accepted into the college of our choice. We are suddenly without a job in an economy that is less than steady, with no idea what we'll do next. We try to figure out what life is all about now that the kids have grown up and moved on and don't need us anymore. We struggle to find our footing when a relationship falls apart. We question the existence of a God who always seems so trustworthy, but now seems so very far away. And there we are, living in the in-between, longing to get to the next place, trying to find that hope again. The people to whom the prophet Isaiah wrote the words we read as our Old Testament lesson were people who were living in a terrible in-between. Life as they had known it in the promised land had been destroyed forever. They were estranged from the God who had brought them together. Darkness and terror and despair had nearly consumed them. Was that going to be the last word for these people who had begun with such hope and promise? Would bleakness and sorrow and annihilation be their final legacy? No, Isaiah says in a loud, unmistakable voice, no, there will come a time when you will feel joyful again, when praises will pour from your mouths as the tears have poured from your eyes, when you will leap and dance for joy. Notice that the words of Isaiah are written in the future tense. You will say in that day, I will trust and not be afraid. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. There is a promise that peace and joy and goodness and light will come into their lives again. That time will come. It may not be here yet, but it will come. It is difficult to believe this promise when things seem dark and dreary,
But as Christians who believe in a resurrected Savior, who believe that the cross is not the end of the story, we hang on to hope, not just for ourselves, but for all who dwell in darkness. So we do not dismiss the pain and the sorrow, the darkness and the despair, because they're real. But we have hope for those who feel lost. We believe for those who cannot quite believe. We hope for the future because we are loved by a Savior who loves us with a love that will not let us go. There is an old story that's told in many ways, but I'll tell it in my own. It is a story about a kind and old woman who was getting close to death. She had a vision, and in that vision, she asked God to show her what heaven and hell were like. In her vision, the old woman was transported to the gates of hell. She looked through the gates and saw that, much to her surprise, hell was a beautiful place, full of lush gardens and springs of fresh, clear water and tables overflowing with rich and glorious food, not unlike the table we see set here today. But the people wandering around in this place were pitiful and thin and starving. The old woman wondered how they could be so miserable when there was so much beauty and bounty all around within their reach. Well, then she noticed that attached to the people's arms were these very long, straight spoons. The spoons were so long that when the people bent their arms, they could not bring the food from the spoons to their mouths to feed themselves. And so, in the midst of all that bounty, they were starving. Tears of sorrow sprang to the old woman's eyes. In an instant, she was transported to the gates of heaven. She looked through the gates and saw, as she had expected, that heaven was a beautiful place, full of lush gardens, springs of fresh, clear water, tables overflowing with rich and glorious food. The people in heaven were healthy and happy and full. The woman was puzzled because she saw that they too had these long spoons attached to their arms. How can they be fed and full when the spoons are too long to reach to their mouths, she wondered. And then she saw the people dipping their spoons into the rivers of life and into the bounteous food and feeding one another. Tears of joy sprang to the woman's eyes. In Advent, we live in the in-between, a time when we are reminded that we live in that era between the time when Jesus came into the world as a baby in Bethlehem and the time when he will come again in all his glory and splendor and usher in a new heaven and a new earth. In this in-between, we look forward to the day when all things are made new and there will be no more tears or crying or pain. We acknowledge that we live in a broken world right now, but that is even more reason for us to tend to each other graciously, to be Christ to one another, to feed each other in whatever ways we each need fed. We do not only feed the people we know or just the people of our congregation. We bring good news into the darkness of the world so that those who have no home come here on a Tuesday night and eat and sleep in a safe place. And families who are hungry can come to our food pantry and receive food because you brought in those cans and boxes and bags. And children who would otherwise have nothing will open a box on Christmas stuffed with the presents you provided for Operation Christmas Child. Let us be people who feed one another. When someone is hurting, may we offer a word of kindness. When someone is stumbling, may we reach out a steady hand. When someone is in darkness, may we share the light of our candle. Let us feed one another with kindness and keep hope alive in this world. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, we read, "Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. For it is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So let's make a deal, you and I. I'll have hope for you. You have hope for me. And we'll have hope for one another in this coming Advent season. And then when the time comes, and Christmas Eve is here, we will all join our voices and sing joy to the world. And we will mean every word. Will you pray with me? God of grace, through the prophet you promised that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. In the darkness of this world, the light of Christ still shines, and nothing can extinguish it. Let us share that light with one another, with hopeful hearts, for it is in the name of that very light that we pray. And let all God's people say, Amen.